Just once again, I'll say you're listening to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. Coins Plus is the sponsor, and we're the Northwest's largest premier coin and bullion dealer and depository service. Been in business a couple decades, Christian owned and operated. Definitely have, you know, strive for the highest level in morals and ethics. And, you know, we're here to serve you. We always have been. We want to do the right thing. Honesty, integrity, and professionalism is what we strive for in all of our transactions. So back to what I was saying is, you know, his wife had left and everything. Not left, like, you know, but went away because there's just situations where they were worried about the disease. And then I spent time with him last night. When I got home, my wife was freaking out. Because I knew, I mean, he'd been, you know, he got a 24-hour flu, got fine, and it'd been many, many days, and it just was such an overreaction with such massive ripple effects. And I think we've just got, you know, so terrified of this stuff, folks. And I mean, we hear about these deaths, and, you know, it is hard. It's like, what do you believe? This thing is tough, okay? But what it seems to be is it seems to be a selective eliminator. It seems to, you know, harass the weak. And we'll go back today maybe and pick up where we were last week on the genesis of this thing. I think it's really important to understand it. It's not so much a conspiracy, it's fact. Everything I'm covering on the show is documented and bibliography. That is my goal. If it is not like that, I will tell you. I don't have this verified. But otherwise, it's important to me. I'm kind of a factual evidentiary guy. I want facts and truth. I don't, you know, there's all kinds of really neat conjecture and speculation out there, and we deal with all of it. The problem is, you know, the real problem is we've got the Joseph Goebbels thing we all know about. You tell a lie long enough and people believe it. And I hear people repeat that all the time because they hear me say it and they've heard it everywhere else. And the bigger the lie, the easier they'll believe it. So we know that. But the thing we don't know is we think that we will be able to spot the lie. Why do we think that? Why do we think that we're intellectually elite? That we're not subject to the power of propaganda? And why are we so afraid to conceive that there are people out there whose not only their every intention is to take America down for a number of reasons in a number of ways, whether it be money, socialism. Isn't it interesting? The people who have the biggest money and they want more, they use the socialistic methodology to take us down. So we go through like this whole 9-1-1 thing, 9-11, you know. And you know, you've heard people lately say, well, we're, you know, how long until we're, quote, back to normal? And you get all these government officials. I heard Dr. Fauci, you know, the big infectious disease specialist of the whole world. And, you know, he's consulting Trump and advising Trump. And every time he's not there, the left-wing media asks, why is he not here? And, you know, and Biden's like, he needs to just talk to the professionals. He needs to talk. Well, that's because Biden's not smart enough to make his own decision. Biden, if he ever got in office by some fluke of nature, folks, it would be absolutely terrifying. He would be a literal geriatric invalid with strong senility, and there would be people around him running our world. And it would not be a conservative mindset. And there's things that could happen so fast right now. We're teetering on the brink. I mean, we've just got everything in place. We've handed everything over. You think about the value of our civil rights and how much we hand off. And I've always, you know, Franklin Benjamin says, I love it, but he says, he who's willing to sacrifice liberty for security deserves neither liberty nor security. And that is, you know, until, folks, you lose your freedom, you do not understand the value of what we have. We are so spoiled in this nation. This nation is one of two nations, in my knowledge, in the history of the world, built of God, by God, for God, by His people, for His people, to honor and serve Him, and to try to profess Him, and to try to magnify Him, and to try to provide a free-thinking, free-speech environment where people can discover God on their own without having it forced down their throat, like a theocracy. You know, you can imagine a theocracy. When you get a government combined with a religious system, it just, you know, that's never going to work, because you've got human power, greed, corruption, and they're going to use the God thing to overcome everything. And it's basically like a cult, only worse. Look at the Spanish Inquisition. That's the ultimate outcome of that stuff. And frankly, even if it's the good Christian, you know, love your neighbor as yourself background, humans are humans. And it just takes one rotten apple to ruin the whole barrel, frankly. And so, you know, we're sitting in a situation where we have, I mean, we've really laid down our arms. We're surrendering. And it does surprise me how many people are just so willing to buy in. And, you know, there's the peer pressure. I mean, think about how it feels right now. Let's say you knew for a fact that this was a farce. Not saying it is, just saying. And you knew you had the factual details, and you had to get the, you had to, and let's just say there was a great big agenda behind it, and you knew it, and you had to try to get the word out. What would you do? I mean, the more you started doing it, the more they're going to call you a wacko and a quack and a nut. And eventually, they're going to string you up, probably lock you up for trying to jeopardize security and or people's health or whatever. You have this peer pressure. This is really probably what it felt like in the start of Nazi Germany. They started to impose public sanctions through the government and on the public. And it was imposed under the guise of security. There's always a threat. The thing about this is the first time that I can imagine that they've used an invisible enemy. Okay? I mean, you can't see it. As far as we think or trained to know, that it can go anywhere and get anybody at any time. You know, my wife has some immuno-challenging things going on, and she's starting to get a little spooked because she really does have to. And, you know, when I was around my friend I was talking about, and I came home, and, you know, she was scared. She's like, well, what if he does? And I'm going to, you know, stay over here. And she's like, where would he get it? She goes, anywhere. I go, what do you mean? Anywhere. She goes, you can get it off anything you touch, anywhere you go, what you breathe. And I'm like, yeah, but you have a problem. You got to have a host, you know. And granted, you know, he didn't manifest any of the symptoms or whatever. But the fear, what is it? You know, fear is the craziest thing. There's all these different statistics of people, you know, 96% of what we fear never comes to happen. Our imagination is so much bigger than reality in ways that we can conjure up things to an extreme. Think how many crazy pieces of legislation that literally crush and ruin and destroy lives are built out of fear. Fear motivates a lot of people in a lot of different directions. And fear is something that I don't think that we have a proper respect for, or fear is something we don't have a proper fear of. We're all motivated by fear. And you think about it, you know, courage and bravery is overcoming your fears to rise up and, you know, take the bull by the horns or whatever. I don't have the exact definition, but that's a good one. And cowardice is simply a lack of courage or bravery. So, in fact, when there's times that you are, you know, not acting, in other words, if there's times that you need to be brave and you need to stand up and you don't, I mean, there's times that we all manifest forms of cowardice. Because it's like God said, if you know what's right to do and fail to do it, or he who knows what, in James, he who knows what's right to do and fails to do it, for him it is a sin. And that's what you have to ask yourself a lot. It's not about your intentions, because a lot of people think that's their secret ticket. To do nothing and say that they didn't mean to do anything, or they didn't mean to cause a problem, or they didn't, you know, that's the ticket. Is you have to intentionally do everything you do on this earth, and you got to take a stand and you got to believe. If you believe and you pray and you trust in the Spirit, you're going to get some, you know, insight and guidance sometimes that other people might not get. But at the same time, we've got to, you know, we got to do what's right and true and careful, and we got to watch out for each other and all this stuff. And I mean, it's just the biggest concern that I have is how fast and how easy it's been to basically harness, tie up the entire globe. The entire globe. You know, I was talking last week about what they call the GWP. That's the gross world product. Okay. So I was reading an article that the global cost daily of the coronavirus right now, based on lost revenue, is about $1.3 trillion a day, okay? Now, there's some really dumb statistics out there. I like this. Here's one. Coronavirus could cost the global economy $2.7 trillion. It's like, really? I mean, you know how quick that's eaten up? What we've already written, what, $5 trillion or whatever, and $6 trillion, well, it costs more than 2.7. These are just dumb articles. They're not good math. There was a financial analyst who was very respected on an economic basis that I was reading that said this is $1.3 trillion per day, and he broke it down. What he did not do, that's globally, what he did not include was like things like loss of wealth through depreciation, okay? I mean, I've got some specialty cars, and during this time, do you think the people are out buying specialty cars, or are high-end car auctions going down? No. So what happens to the price of these specialty vehicles right now? Everybody's unemployed. They're losing income. Yeah, it may be the working man at the wage level or maybe a good salaried income. But then what happens? Those people spend money, and it feeds these big companies. The companies get money. They feed their employees. They spend like crazy because they have huge overhead. And then when they spend, you know, the vendors got the money, and you get the picture. And the one thing to keep in mind is human beings create wealth. It is such a key concept to understand that as far as we know, based on the Bible, and I consider that my go-to final authority on a lot of things, as far as we know, we are the only creature that God created, keyword, that creates. We create wealth. We're made to work. You take all of mankind like this and freeze them up, you're going to have problems. You're going to have problems at home. You're going to have tension of all sorts. Financial problems lead to every other kind of problem. You're going to have all kinds of stuff. I was talking to a psychiatrist gal, and she was saying that abuses are going up, home domestic abuse. From what? The pressure, I guess. Maybe these are situations that obviously had a seed already, but now they're all trapped. They're locked in. It's just like when you corral a bunch of aggressive animals, you're going to have a problem. You look at prison yards. You know, you start packing people in a tight quarters and you get a problem. This is just, and then we need to work to blow off steam. I was talking to another friend of mine and he's like, I have got anxiety really, really bad. He's like, and I'm like, what about, you know? And he's like, well, I got to work. I got to do, you know, he's got two jobs he's doing and they're all, you know, they're sports oriented. He's a coach and he's got all these other things. And he's just like, I can't stand this. It's bugging me so bad that we're made to move and go. And yes, we need to be able to sit with ourselves and sit with the Lord in peace and all that. But God even says in the Bible, people don't catch this. God put Adam in the garden to tend to the garden. So he wasn't just walking around in some euphoric bliss. All, you know, he, I mean, as far as I know, I think he had full conscientious awareness, but he had work to do and things to take care of. God made us that way. We create wealth when we work. Work energy creates. God created us. We create wealth. This is the first time that I know of where we have literally discouraged the creation of wealth. So it's not like the money sits and waits while we're down like this. The money's being lost due to a strict lack of productivity. And it, you cannot make up for that. You just can't, because each human has their ability to produce a certain amount over a certain period of time. And you can't make it up. There's just, you know, you can use twice as many humans, but it's going to cost you twice as much, and you're going to be back, you know, to the same thing. And so I just am really sincerely concerned about what's coming. I think there's a lot of people that just do not get it. I talk to, and they don't get it. And the ripple effects of this are going to be significant. Another thing that concerns me about what's going on is there's a thing called the Cloward and Piven strategy. Why do you think, by the way, Obama was a major believer and severely adhered directly to the Cloward and Piven strategy, and I could have sworn I had it up here, but I don't know. So here's what we got. This is Trump fights Cloward Piven takeover. Okay, this is just a quick article I pulled up just trying to find something. So it's talking about President Obama increased the movement, and Secretary Clinton would have continued the decline into socialism had she become president, of course. It says where everyone is equal. And then it says equally miserable. Isn't it interesting that Hillary Clinton wanted nationalized health care so bad, right? Just, oh, man, she just wanted it, Clinton or Hillary care or whatever it was called. And then Obama railroads it in. Now we're in a situation which basically gets busted apart by Trump for the most part. He takes apart Obamacare because it's an absolute mess. And you get, I mean, I've learned a lot about people in the years I've been doing what I do and doing the show and being a little bit of a political pundit. So many people on the left, folks, what scares me the most is that the bias is human bias. The fact that we're not seeking the truth, no matter the cost. The truth is the truth is the truth. People will ask, what party are you with? Who you support? Who, before they listen to what you say. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to know your biases if you're going to give me information. I want to make an unfettered, unabridged, unbridled judgment on facts and details without the bias of where it's coming from. I can read bias, I can read opinion, I can hear it, I can, you know, but maybe other people aren't maybe as astute to that, I don't know. But it doesn't really matter where it's coming from. And my point is, I was in, you know, communication with some of the more left-leaning types, and when we were talking about the whole, you know, the theory that I laid out here about the Wuhan virus, more than a theory, the fact that Bill Gates has the patent on the coronavirus and that Bill Gates funds the Wuhan lab where it came from, and that a U.S. Doctorate research professor from UNC and Harvard were arrested for taking bribes from the Chinese for trying to smuggle a coronavirus over to Wuhan. And really, I mean, you're like, what? You know, this is really happening, folks. We have to deal with what's in front of us. But they just are like, well, if it says Gates and Obama, it can't be true. Okay, well, that's why bibliography is really important. And there is a big grand scheme to this stuff. You're dealing with such humongous large amounts of money. You can absolutely tip the scales, turn the ship in life with just minute fractions of the money they're playing with. And there are so many corrupt ways people can get their fingers on it. You know, what percentage of all this money, the $2.2 trillion was released, what percentage of that actually goes out in direct wages or the PPP plan. PPP being payroll protection plan, where every business can apply to get compensated for wages as long as their employee payroll, as long as they keep people on and keep paying them and all this. And it takes 18 months before they waive the loan and all this kind of stuff, which is, you know, it's neat, but it doesn't cover everything, but it's something. So what percentage of that gets to those levels? Well, for some reason, it's like 42%. There's 58% pork, as they call it in there. Fat. Junk. I mean, you may not realize Pelosi. I mean, she was overseeing, you know, she was fighting for $800 or $786 billion to go off in the wildest, craziest directions. Why? You know why? Because she and her cronies, I mean, okay, maybe you don't get all the money yourself, but when you're giving money to, you know, the Epsteins of the world or whatever it is, you know, and then they have Gulfstream Sixes and private islands all over the world. And, you know, and you can, they'll pick you up in their jet and take you and your friends to their island for a week. And, you know, there's just perks and bennies plus power. Money is power. You know, you live in Spokane, you know, a millionaire's got a little bit of pull in town. You go to D.C., you got to be up into the big B word, the billions, you know, the Googles and these kinds of things. And believe me, they can throw things, directions you can't believe. You go on Google these days, folks, it is the most non-organic, non-generic search method. I hate it. It's the most biased, skewed shopping cart deception there is. People come in all the time. They want to do, quote, research on the web before they invest in coins, and they read garbage, and you're not researching. I'm sorry. There's ways to do it, but that ain't it. Every single thing you find on Google is paid for. And then people say to me, but I don't use Google. I use Mozilla or I use Google Chrome. Wrong. It's still Google. No, I use Smart Search or I use DuckDuckGo. No, they still go through Google. They just protect your personal IP address from being released. That's it. You're still getting the searches filtered by Google. They are the granddaddy of propaganda journalism. We are not getting the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, let me tell you. Like I said, they're saying now up to 12% of the deaths in Italy that they claimed were coronavirus, now they're saying only 12% or less of them may have been coronavirus because the AP, the Global Associated Press, was counting every single death as a corona death. They knew it was a lie. They didn't care. They wanted to search, you know, or they wanted to pump out the numbers. They want the hype. It's just like this article the other day I was reading where it says, you know, nearly 100,000 people signed petition, you know, against Trump being Trump's virus update, whatever, you know, being aired on television. And then you read the article and it's 82,000 people. Why do they have to say up to nearly 100,000? I mean, if it's 82,000, say 82,000. But they want it. They want more. They want harder. They want deeper, faster, tougher, ruder, you know, nasty, cutting, destructive. I was listening to the press conference with Trump today. I mean, the way these journalists word things is heinous. It's the most hideously disrespectful, unarticulate, you know, dishonorable. I could keep going. It's really horrible. I don't care what you are, a journalist. You know what? You have speech. You know, the Bible tells us, you know, to control the tongue is a big thing. It's a mastery. It's not just controlling what comes out. Because there's, you know, the verses that say what comes out is telling you what's inside. Obviously, hate for them in a lot of cases. But it's not just controlling what comes out. In other words, you're not just stopping trash from coming out. It's controlling how it comes out and how it's massaged and how the words are dissected and what is your heart. It really emanates from the heart. years back when I grew up in Montana, I was a redneck. I was a kind of a tough, athletic redneck. How about that? I was always, you know, a smart kid, whatever, did good, you know, had intelligence and stuff, but just didn't have the tongue. And when I got in banking, I started to get some, you know, I started to do okay because I worked hard and I tried hard, but I really struggled with talking to people. And somehow I found the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And even as a Christian then, I was like, boy, that title sounds a little worldly. I was, I was a little bit more concerned with what information I was putting in my mind, which we all should be. You know, the Bible says, you know, we'll put no worthless thing before our eyes, because what we put before our eyes goes into our mind and our heart, and it changes who we are. So I reluctantly started to read the book, and it was probably one of the most transformational books in my life, other than the Bible, frankly. It's called How to Win Friends and Influence People. I think they've sold like 60 million copies. And I'm telling you, the book talks about, it was written in the 30s. Dale Carnegie was a Christian, I'm suspecting. The book doesn't say that, but it's pretty apparent. Morals and ethics and you know, the heart towards people and, you know, the golden rule, everything. It's all about empathy, and it's about speech content and quality and tone and temperament and how the power of our speech is so great. And like I said, you get these journalists they're speaking to the President of the United States. I've mentioned the, you know, what are they? Polarized, personalized, pulverized. Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, How to Destroy America. You know, and that's what they're doing. They just see a man up there with things that they're derogatory about. It's wrong. And it's really putting out just such a terrible message to this nation. Where do we go from here, folks? And why is it that all the haters, they're just so anti-Trump, they want things to shut down and fail. They don't even see all the pain and suffering. And then Trump's, you know, he's hopping on board with this humongous bailout. Folks, the financial ramifications of this thing, mark my words, the definition of inflation is an increase in the money supply. Under Obama, I'm going to touch here quick on Cloward and Piven strategy, but under Obama, he pumped out currency like wildfire, and it started with Bush at the end. But we already had, you know, this financial crisis concocted. I just remember when it came, it was like, oh, yeah, right. I was in banking for many, many moons, and what they pulled the curtain back and showed us was apparently, it was there. I mean, it didn't culminate when it was shown. It already had culminated. The damage had been done. They just used it as a primary catalyst to get Obama into office. Obama came out because he was going to be George Bush's successor. They already knew that. There's a word for you. So the inside joke there. So they knew he was already chosen to be a successor. And so Bush, out of honor, dignity, whatever you want to call it, gave the authority to push this massive bailout, $5.4 trillion TARP funds and all that, based on Obama's desire. So it happened before Bush left office. It happened in the fall of 2008. And then Obama got in and just trash-talked Bush, and he started just dump on him. Well, what he had done is by letting Bush release that money, he'd pushed the deficit up to from like 4 point whatever trillion, maybe 3.8, 4 trillion, I can't remember the numbers, pushed it up over 9. I think it was like 9.38 trillion. And at that point, Obama could go, well, I took over all this debt, you know, and Bush, you know, Bush went over double. Bush tripled the national deficit during his two terms, and which was really malarkey because Bush was done when the deficit was about $4 trillion. Obama gets out of office, and, you know, I don't remember the numbers now, but what were we, $18 trillion or, you know, something nuts? And now we're 25 and running and on our way going to the big 30, $30 trillion, just like the Dow. went to 30,000 and kaboosh kabam. We had a 1,600 and some point rise today. Well, that's fantastic. That thing is all over the board. What is that, like a 6% rise, maybe 7, you know, maybe 8. It's a lot. And that's massive volatility. That's not a good thing. People are like, well, that's great to see. No, it's crazy to see, folks. And we've got another dump coming. We're going to get, you know, this thing's going to linger too long. Or we're going to just start walking around, you know, with a limp and let the disease take its course and just deal with it as it comes. If we get all of the infrastructure set up and we have all the PPE and all the medical equipment available, you know, maybe we can handle a little higher volume than we thought. You know, I don't know. I'm not an infectious disease and an endemic pandemic specialist. But there's got to be a give and take somewhere. I mean, at what point do we stop this? You know, I'm talking to my banker this weekend, and, you know, he's telling me the same thing. He's like, this is sheer insanity. He's working, you know, all weekend, and he's like, I just took 50 loan applications today for this PPP program. I'm like, what? I mean, it's just, you know, but he's saying this is going to have the greatest ramifications, because here's what happens next. All these people that lost income, how are they going to pay their mortgage? How are they going to pay their leases on their commercial buildings? You know, how are they going to be paying their vendors? And how are their vendors going to be paying their vendors? And it's going to have a ripple effect that's going to last a long, long time. I can't tell you where it's going. I'm just telling you to prepare. I would be telling you right now, get a portfolio built. Come in, bring some money. Let us set you up. I'm going to warn you up front. It's taking a little time to get metals. They're very scarce. Very, very scarce. The precious metal spot prices look pretty desirable, but they're not accurate. A lot of the world shut down. Nobody is selling. I mean, for the most part, no one's selling into this thing. It's just they're buying. People are in a protective mode or a protective state. You know, and you want to build a portfolio that's based on, I call it good times, bad times, and in-between times or normal times. And then you want to do it for short, middle, and long-term goals. And that's just, it's kind of a nine-box matrix that we do. And we fit stuff in, and we weight certain areas based on what we discuss with you. And, you know, I've mentioned in the past, we sort of have a pyramid scheme. No, it's kind of a pyramid philosophy where, you know, the base, it's precious metals based for sure. Gold and silver is the basis. You know, platinum is dirt cheap right now. I like it. I can't guarantee I can always get it. It's just been a really challenging time. If and a lot of people have been capitalizing on it and giving us the money, and we're doing portfolios, and we've been putting together a lot. If you're interested in that, just figure out how much you want to do and give us a call and just send us the money, and then we'll get it taken care of. And what we do is we'll do the best we can for you based on our belief system and our knowledge and our experience and the word and financial background and all that kind of stuff and whatever your needs are. If it's a college fund, it all depends. We'll talk about all that. But we'll take very good care of you. We've been in business 25 years. We've done many hundreds of millions of dollars in business and sales. And more in purchasing. This is one business where both buying and selling is labor intensive. Most businesses, they order inventory, put it in the showcase, and sell it. And so the buying's irrelevant. The selling's all that's relevant. In our business, both are extremely time consuming. I mean, going to someone's house or having them come in with a big estate, it can take a day of two or three guys really hammering it. Once they leave, then we got our work really cut out for us, because when we buy it, we go through it. People are always like, do you ever buy stuff and then you dig through it and you find these really great coins? Like, no. Like, you don't? No. We look at everything when we're buying. People don't understand. We've got a very, very broad knowledge, an extensive knowledge. Coins are a pretty fixed thing. You know, there's all kinds of crazy furniture that you could buy that's antique that maybe some manufacturer made, and they deviated this one and that one, and they put different claw feet on this one, and that one had a different mirror. Coins aren't like that for the most part. They are what they are, what they are. And so you get a real broad knowledge over time. I've handled a lot of coins, a ton. You'd be surprised. And we get where we can buzz through stuff. It's not uncommon when we're going through a collection that we will slow down. I do. The pace that I go through it, because people can't even fathom the concept that I could be seeing every single thing that I'm apparently flying through. And so, you know, when we buy stuff, we know what's in there, just as a kind of an integrity representation there. And we pay for it too. I mean, good material gets paid for, and you know, we've got small margins. We're fair. We know coin. We're as fair as anybody that I've ever heard of. I mean, by a long shot. I beat every major name that in the industry out of every bid I've ever put out against them for decades. And I don't know why, but it is what it is. I have a tremendously profound inventory, which is sometimes the cause of a little delay in building portfolios, because I have hoarded. That's a bad word right now. I've accumulated mass quantities of the best of the best over time, primarily for myself and for customers. When I'm not selling it to my customers and it sits in my back inventory, well, I'm the investor and I'm happy as heck to have it. And then when our own private clientele comes in, you know, we take good care of them. We buy all kinds of stuff by the millions and millions of dollars a month, and a lot of it goes out of here. A lot of it gets shipped out wholesale, or it's junk, you know? We don't put that stuff in your hands. We put stuff that's recognizable. You know, I've been around, like I said, 25 years in this business, but I know the history of the business. I know what wins. You can go back and look at auction records from the 20s, 30s, 40s. You can go back to the 1870s. And good material is always good material. Quality does not cost, it pays, right? Junk is always junk. And a lot of people want to be an investor, and they'll get just enough education, and they think they, you know, they're going to buy these really cool this or that because they read a bunch of hype on it, and they're going out, then they're looking for the best deal, and then they want to go save money, and they don't know, they decided to get some weird proof Silver Eagles, and they don't know that they're getting these ones at a discount, and they think they're shooting ducks in a barrel. Well, guess what? They have carbon spots on them or milk spots, and they don't know this stuff, and you don't have to know all that, and you don't have to worry about all that. We take profoundly, exceptionally good care of you. I promise you. That is absolutely paramount and manifest. No one sells things. We've had people here in the last few months from a variety of shops that have evaluated us, or, you know, tried to see what's going on because they want to learn or they want to see how we do what we do. And every one of them is absolutely blown away at how we take care of our clients, especially on the investment end. The pricing is truly wholesale to the public. I said the biggest shame is that we put some really phenomenal material into investment portfolios that performs very well. People that aren't into that don't know, but it doesn't really matter. You don't have to, I mean, if you were into stock or real estate or whatever, you don't have to know everything about real estate in a certain area to have a financial advisor put you into it. And that's the same with us. So right now, you can't really go wrong, folks. I mean, you just can't. It's biblical money from the beginning of Genesis chapter 2 all the way through the Bible. Precious metals have been the pinnacle form of wealth in every civilized nation, every civilized society throughout world history. There's just no exception. And it always lasts, and it always outperforms, and it always overcomes, and it always wins because God said it would. And it ends up in heaven. In fact, they're building heaven right now, I suspect, because Christ said, I'm going to go, and I'm building a place for you, and when I'm done, I'll come back. And in my Father's mansion are many rooms, etc., right? So he's building that thing. And I heard someone say one time, if it took him 6 days or seven, whatever you want to call it, to create the earth and everything in it, and heaven's been a couple thousand years, it's probably pretty neat. You know, I don't know. I mean, that's all hypothetical. We don't know exactly what's going on because God's outside of time. But precious metals go all the way to the end like this. They are the thing. And our fiat currency, folks, be prepared for hyperinflation. The sad thing is we have the consumer price index. It's completely deceptive. Your wage will not increase commensurate with true inflation, nor will your Social Security disability or pension or whatever it is you're living on. Even the cost of goods, you get what's called stagflation, where the cost of goods, where you have inflation, and the cost of certain goods is going down because it's not just the spending power gets weak, the supply and demand, as people get less buying power by a skewed imbalance between the buying power of the dollar and the false statistics being reported by our government. So people end up consuming less different items because they don't have the income to do it. And you'll start to see certain areas and sectors lag behind because they're maybe a little bit more luxury oriented. Or when I say luxury, I mean a disposable income driven asset or commodity or whatever it is. And so as we trek through this thing here, let me get back to my Cloward and Piven strategy. Let's see here. I got okay, so let's just buzz through this. So you got President Obama and kept going after Hillary, did it? And I think we know President Obama, you know, it says, do you think President Obama saying there should be a guaranteed annual income was his idea? Of course not, right? He's been a Marxist. He was always a Marxist. He was a socialist Marxist with a ton of class, and he was in the right place at the right time. He was smooth as glass. People'd rather be told a lie than the truth in a lot of cases. Obama was a huge fan, and he discussed the Cloward and Piven strategy, and he discussed in his speeches Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Before he ran for president, he discussed it a lot more. He said that he was an Alinsky-influenced community organizer in Chicago for years, and that his strategy, that strategy was followed along with Alinsky's influence. And it says the Cloward and Piven strategy, I'll just tell you what it is. The Cloward and Piven strategy is a political strategy that was outlined in 1966 by an American sociologist and political activist, Richard Cloward, and Francis Fox Piven. It called for overloading the U.S. public welfare system in order to precipitate a crisis that would lead to a replacement of the welfare system with a national system of, quote, a guaranteed annual income and thus an end to poverty. Now, tell me that's not a crazy thing. Where's the wealth come from? Wealth only comes from man's work, okay? You may get lucky. One guy may mine gold for 10 years and get 100 ounces in 10 years. Another guy may go mine gold for 3 months and get 1,000 ounces. So it doesn't mean everything's equal. That's the lottery of gold mining. But when it comes to work, you know, some people make better products than others. You get an artist that gets $60,000 for a painting and another one that can't give it away for $60. I get all that. If they can't give it away for $60, they're probably entertaining themselves more than they are pursuing their talent pool or their skill set, right? But the thing is, where is this guaranteed annual salary or guaranteed annual income that's supposedly going to end poverty? To me, it's just illogical, right? So here's the deal. Here's how Cloward and Piven break it down. One, they say healthcare. Control healthcare. This is their quote. Control healthcare and you control the people. What's going on in our nation right now in our world? This is a full throttle exercise of the control of healthcare. When Obamacare was going through, and I did an extensive report on it that was on my site, and it got hit. I mean, I got hundreds of thousands of hits from around the nation. I got called a bunch of places to be on shows and just because the way I broke it down. And basically what I was showing at the time was that his healthcare system basically permeated every inch of our lives. Because what's health? Oh, it's what you eat. Remember Michelle Obama? It's what you eat. You got to go to the schools, control what people eat. That affects your health. And then it's anything you put in your body. Oh, wait a minute. It's the air you breathe. Ah, now we got to have a climate change program because this filthy, polluted air is affecting your health. The government has to control that now, right? You see what I'm saying? And it keeps going on and on this way. Then they say poverty. Increase the poverty level as high as possible. This is actually fact. Poor people are easier to control. and will not fight back if you're providing everything for them to live. Is that not the truth? You ever wonder why the liberals want to give free, free, free? Because once you get people hooked on that drug, they can't get off. What's going on right now? I only wonder what the long-term ramifications of this are going to be. Everybody's getting paid not to work. That is not the nature of economics or, you know, God's creation. Here's what they say about debt. This is Cloward and Piven again. Increase the debt to an unsustainable level. That way you're able to increase taxes and this will produce more poverty. They want to jam us into poverty. They're admitting this stuff that's just, it's crazy though, because they have this socialist as this progressive tax system, which is one of the 10 planks of communism. So what they're saying here, increase the debt to unsustainable levels. That way you're able to increase taxes and this will produce more poverty. Well, geez, here's a flaming left winger, extreme socialist Marxist, admitting that taxes bankrupt people. Wait a minute. I thought they said that was a great thing and it was socialist. Yeah, they know the truth. Gun controls, number four. Remove the ability to defend themselves from the government. That way you're able to create a police state. Aren't we seeing little hints of all this stuff around us? Number five, welfare. Take control of every aspect of their lives. Food, housing, and income. Food, housing, and income. I mean, really. Number six, education. Take control of what people read and listen to. It says, let's see, take control of what people read and listen to us take control of what children learn in school. Or I think it was, it should say, take control of what people read and listen to. And then it's, I don't know. And then as we take control of what children learn in school. In a nutshell, that sentence isn't written right. But basically, obviously, you know what they're saying. It's brainwashing. You take control of everything that people read and listen to. I mean, in college, I had to read stuff that made me cringe. Just heinous. I read some stuff. I mean, you wouldn't even believe it, but mandatory reading. Nasty, hard, harsh, vile, you know, trash, garbage. And, you know, other books that glorify, you know, socialism and whatnot, right? So education is number six, they say. Number seven's religion. This is Cloward and Piven's strategy, Obama's favorite. This is what he basically formulated himself after. Remove the belief in God from the government and schools. That's this separation of church and state. That's not because they're so concerned about, well, I don't know what they'd be concerned about. I guess it's not because they just think it's so terrible that the government's going to become a theocratic aristocracy or tyranny or dictatorship. They're really afraid that you're going to have spiritual morality. You've got to get that out of there. You got to make you robots, dependent, thirsty robots that are terrified. Number eight, the last thing they call is class warfare. Divide the people into the wealthy and the poor. You remember the 1% thing? This will cause more discontent. And it will be easier to take or tax the wealthy with the support of the poor. Take the money from those filthy one percenters and give it to me. Even what's going on right now, folks, is crazy, right? We're taking the money. We're shelling it out all over the place. Small businesses. And you get a lot of these, you know, people getting $1,200 and $500 for kids. It's not a lot of money. It's just a little booster shot. But, you know, it really is a severe transfer of wealth. It really is. It's a redistribution in a way. But at the same time, we're all going broke. And then, you know, among the points above, so Obama and the liberal Democrats achieved, it says, 1, 2, 3, and 8, and made strides in 4 and 5, and items 6 and 7 have been completely taken over by liberals for years. So they say the Democrats have achieved 1, 2, 3, and 8. That's health care, poverty, debt, and class warfare. They made strides in 4 and 5, gun control and welfare. Or wait, did I do that wrong? Healthcare, poverty, debt, and class warfare. I gotcha. And then they made strides or progress in 4 and 5, which is number 4 was gun control. Number 5 is welfare. And then it says in items 6 and 7, which is education and religion, have been completely taken over by liberals for years. We know that. So these Cloward and Piven strategies, they're, I don't understand how you take away everybody's wealth and you control everybody and somehow you eliminate poverty by writing everybody a paycheck. Do you know how crazy that is? This is so contradictory to human nature. We don't operate this way, folks. People get the itch, the urge, the drive. You know, they have a skill set. They're made to do something. They want to go out and make something out of themselves. They're driven. They're driven more at sometimes than others in their life or even in a year. And you don't control people this way. You give them opportunity. And then if people don't seem to get the opportunity, then that's life. Now, once in a while, you get people that get knocked down, you know, with hard knocks and tough life. That's what charity's for. But the point of charity is not to create sustenance upon, you know, stipends and government subsidies. It's to get them back on their feet, to motivate them to get going again. And you need just enough, just enough. You got to have a little hunger to keep you driving. I saw things a while ago when John Stossel was covering a lot of it. Literal single mothers with three kids making the equivalent on welfare, the equivalent of like 80-some thousand a year. How do you say that? They were getting paid pretty substantial monthly fees for their home expense. They get a big fat check for starters every month. I think at the time, you know, she was bringing home, you know, $2,900 a month. Well, that's net. There's no taxes. So that right there would be the equivalent of $3,500 a month. That's $42,000 a year. And then she was getting some huge number for her housing. She lived, I don't remember where she lived. They were giving her like $1,900 a month for housing. And then they were giving her a car. Seriously, they're doing this now. They're giving these parents minivans. And then they give them all these food stamps. And then she get free daycare, even though she wasn't working. And she would put her kids in daycare 3 days a week, paid by our government, so she could go party with her friends. They actually documented this. And she says point blank, I can never go to work. I could never make this kind of money. Well, of course, you would have to swallow your pride and suck it up and have a greatest amount of integrity imaginable to overcome that. People get dependent. Then they get mad. That's even with parents. Parents that you over sustain or support or enable, or, you know, you jeopardize your kids' self-sufficiency. They've got to have a reason to get off their duff and go make things happen. So well, now we got, you know, as enthusiastic, uninformed Democrats. So we got both houses of Congress are populated by Democrats and establishment Republicans who are supporting this Cloward and Piven strategy. And they don't even know it a lot of times. But either knowingly, as enthusiastic, uninformed Democrats are entrenched, uninformed establishment Republicans going along to get along, which is what's going on a lot. The only thing that has put a monkey wrench into the gears is the election of Donald Trump, who was an avowed capitalist, although he's making some foolish decisions, by my opinion, because he doesn't know. By the, you know, and then as Hillary called him, you know, he was elected by the deplorables, the little people, the great unwashed, you know, the Walmarters, whatever, who won the Electoral College for Trump, which illustrates a well-run campaign can cripple a moneyed campaign, but one devoid of any comprehensive message is what Hillary's was. And I'm out of time today, folks. But I just want, I mean, here we are again, civil rights being threatened. This is serious stuff. Trump's okay, but he doesn't, you know, there's a lot going on. So I appreciate you tuning in. We are open. We're here to do business. We'll help you out if we can. Give us a call, 509-444-0044. Give us a nice couple reviews online, three of them, $2 silver. Take care. God bless. Have a great evening. Thank you. Bye-bye.